Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome to the downward spiral.
Oh, Lord.
We're taking you way down.
We start off strong and then it's downhill all the way.
What do you mean strong then?
Well, we start talking about nice things and then we end up talking about awful things.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden you get depressed. Or I get depressed.
There you have it.
Welcome to the Downward Spiral 2020 end of the year review. I'm Jeff Fader, and I'm here with the great and powerful Nico Tavernisi. How are you, my man?
I'm good. Welcome to the last day of the Armageddon. I don't know, the last day of the year, 2020, December 31st. Dude. It is noon. And here we are.
You know, it's the stupidest part of it all is everyone seems to think that, you know, nature and science and the world will adhere to our nonsensical civilization deadlines, you know, as in like the 1st of January, everything's going to be great. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like those huge like Christian big meetups they're having, the expos and stuff like that for like, you know, 20 something Christians. And like, they just had one in Missouri the other day with like hundreds of people showing up. And one of the people in the audience was like, I'm not worried about COVID because God will protect me. And you know what? I kind of love that about humans. We're just so dumb. We're so fucking stupid that we kind of deserve it. So every time you see these massless parties and shit, you're like, well, you know, we're human. That's
dude. I tell you what, an hour ago, I just picked my Jeep up from the auto body guy. They did an amazing job. I crashed the Jeep into the shop to podcast for Knife Talk.
Did you do it on purpose?
No, it was a total accident. I had my workbench out. I was cleaning the workbench. I accidentally had it farther out than it usually is. And I just drove into it.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was on my birthday. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
So I brought it to a guy. And then I just found out they were done with it. So I came to pick it up. Yeah. I went into the office. The owner wasn't wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask. What are you going to do? I can't tell the guy to fucking put a mask on.
Yeah.
So then he gets into the car. Then he's like, I'll bring the car around. He gets in the car without a mask.
Yeah.
Touches everything. Breathes all over the place.
Yeah.
And then I have to go get some bleach. And I just bleach the whole goddamn car down. And it's just like,
yeah,
we're never going to get fucking through this.
Yeah.
We're never going to get through this.
Yeah. It's tough too, because of the whole vaccine rollout. You kind of read these kind of horror stories about, you know, some wacko in fucking Wisconsin or wherever left 500 doses out intentionally, like killed 500 doses.
Did that happen?
On purpose. Yeah. It happened the other day.
What?
Yeah, he's just, you know, it's like there's people who are just mentally unfit. There's like this fine line between like bus drivers and like low level nurses in hospitals and fucking psychopaths, you know, like there's this is like, I don't know what it is. It's crazy. And we're just kind of like, oh yeah, Mother Nature's just kind of like, oh my God, you guys are so dumb.
Yeah, I'm gonna walk all over you. I don't care. You're helping me. You're helping me.
Yeah. Now thanks. Thanks for the new variant strain. Yeah, great.
Yeah, 100%. It's just like you can't make this up. And I'll tell you what. I mean, you and I were talking off the air about this. You know, the funny thing is because Hillary and I and a kid had the had Corona in April. Uh-huh. So, you know, my wife's frontline worker, blah, blah, blah. We get through the whole year. We're like, we consider ourselves COVID Orthodox. That's mm-hmm. our new, that's where the auto body guy wanted to shake my hand. I'm like, I can't, COVID Orthodox. And you want to give me an elbow? And I'm like, let's just wave. We don't even have to, I understand. Yeah. And so we were excited because there was word that my wife was going to get the vaccine.
Right.
We'd heard early in December that basically what happens is the vaccines go to all the hospitals and then they have like a pecking order because there's only a certain amount of vaccines and they have to have a pecking order in regards to who's going to get it. So they let Hillary know that she was going to get it. And one day she was going to get it and she just missed the deadline. She was seeing a patient. And then the next day she took it. She sent us this message. I got the vaccine. She didn't do the selfie, getting the picture with the And we were excited because it was almost like this feeling of the end of this. Right.
Yeah.
She gets home. It is the Moderna vaccine. You got to get it again.
Yeah.
She gets home. We're all like, yeah, this is so great. This is so great. And we go to bed and at 12 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, she's writhing around, moaning and in pain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you okay? Are you okay? She's like, I have the chills. She's got the chills. She's got a fever. She feels like she's got flu-like symptoms. She's not coughing, but she feels like total shit and she can't move her arm. Ugh. So we're in a panic. So it's we're all having PTSD because it's like exactly what happened when she got the COVID.
Right.
And then the next morning she had a fever of 101, called in, couldn't go to work because I mean, they take her temperature.
Oh, sure. You can't walk in with that.
So it was the side effects from the Moderna vaccine.
Right.
And they're seeing a few people. They're seeing they're seeing enough of the same symptoms.
Right.
For people who maybe have had the COVID virus before.
Yeah.
They're having the same terrible arm pain. She couldn't move her arm for 5 days.
Oh my God.
For 72 hours. They told her the side effects might last 72 hours if you get it. Now, this is something that not everyone's going to get.
Right.
But the problem is, and she felt better after 3 days.
Yeah.
She felt better. But at the one point, she's like, I'm not taking the second one. I'm not taking, because they said to her that if you have side effects, the second dose, the side effects are going to be worse. Jesus. So we were just like, I mean, it's crazy that you should take it. I mean, So we basically came to the conclusion that we're going to like prepare. She's going to take it on a Friday, the second batch, and we're going to prepare the house. And she said to me, I asked her at one point, do you want me to take you to the hospital? And she goes, no, because this is, you know, what's happening is it's the vaccine isn't like virus. It's not virus.
Right.
What it's doing is it's trying to prepare your immune system and your antibodies for the coronavirus.
Right.
So it's like when you have the fever, you have the chills, you have the aches, you have this, that's your immune system kind of like fighting off whatever. And, we were making the joke that like Hillary's immune system was like, oh fuck, it's back. Panic. Everybody fucking panic.
But
it was tough. And the real, ultimately she feels good now. Her arm's a little bit sore. It's different than when you get a flu shot and sometimes you get sore. Sure. I mean, she couldn't move her fucking arm for like 3 days.
Yeah. I actually just got the flu shot pretty recently. And it was one of those things that you forget about it. And then the next day you're like, oh, why is my shoulder kind of, so it feels like you just like get hit with a softball or something like that. You're like, oh, right.
Well, she said that at night, she said, I didn't need to go. I didn't panic because my arm hurt so bad. I realized this is from the vaccine. This isn't coronavirus again, because she sees all these people with coronavirus anyway. But it was like, what the problem is going to be is this is going to be very, very helpful to people who are against the vaccine, people who are afraid to take the vaccine.
Sure.
Because this is like, I mean, it was like she had like the flu for the most. I mean, yeah, she wasn't yeah. like, so I mean, it wasn't like she wasn't like.
Oh, yeah, because people are going to be like, you gave me fucking COVID. Oh,
dude, people are stupid as it is. But this going to be, I mean, we were all panicked. We were all like, holy shit, she's got fucking coronavirus again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to make this whole thing even worse and harder to do. People are going to be afraid to take it.
Right. So, but that's not a majority. I think people in Hillary's case are more of a minority, I think, right?
They had an article about it in the Atlantic. I have the article, but I don't even need to read it. But they're very aware that this is happening to a certain group of people. Not everybody. It's a small group of people have
this. Yeah, because I was just reading that. It was just basically people who have pretty severe allergic reactions to most things. And then I read something about shellfish allergies. Right. They're like, be really careful. So like, carry your EpiPen with you when you get a shot.
I mean, if you were to say, all right, I'm going to take this vaccine, but it's going to, there's a small window that this is going to fuck me up for 72 hours.
Right.
I think a lot of people are going to be like, I really don't want to do this. You know,
But take your chances with what? Death? Like, no one's died from the vaccine yet.
People still don't believe. I mean, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, the shellfish thing. People just don't know, you know. And I think that the whole thing sucks. And I think that it's fucking awful. And you know, it got to the point. And Hillary's a smart person. She was just like, I'm not fucking taking that second one if it's gonna be worse than this. And I'm just like, I mean, and now she's like, I'm fucking taking it. We're going to prep the house. We're going to like, she's going to do it on a Friday. So if she's get the reactions are just as bad or worse.
Yeah. But I mean, the nice thing, the good thing about that is they're saying the second one can last years, you know, like being fully, immune to it. It can last years. That's what I read. So
hopefully, but it's just, you know, the masks are the simplest, easiest way to just at least do something. And here's the real problem, because I got into it with some mask on anti-mask guys, and they're just like, well, you just got some fucking cotton on your face. Yes, but I don't do that. We're COVID orthodox. We have M95 masks everywhere, so I'm not wearing I'm only wearing the cloth mask when I walk the dogs and I don't see anybody. But when I go anywhere, I got full M95 mask on. Hillary's just like,
you can just buy them on Amazon. It's not,
she's
like,
getting them on it. That's where she gets them. She gets them on Amazon.
And I get black ones on Amazon, which are great because they look cool.
Tell me what it's like working on a movie set now. Cause you're on a set right now, aren't you?
Yeah, we get tested every single morning. We get PCRs every morning.
Which type of test is that?
PCR is like the gold standard, basically.
It's
like
up the back of your nose?
Yeah, yeah. It was 98%. But they don't know. They stopped doing that because what they were finding is that it actually injured people's nasal cavities. So what they're doing is they're telling you when you do it, they do 10 seconds in each nostril, two different swabs, and you breathe out your nose when they're doing it. You don't tilt your head back or anything because it constricts the passage.
Right.
And, you know, we get it from guys in full-on like Ebola outfits,
right?
And you know, you get the test, and then they don't go all the way in the back. Sometimes we're outside and it's freezing cold, and these people have numb hands because they've been doing it for hours, and they kind of whack the back of your brain. You're like, oh, okay. But you know, but we have an hour to 2 hour turnaround, and we sit in our cars. We have crazy early calls, 5 a.m. We're there in this parking lot, we get these tests and we sit in the car for hour and a half, 2 hours. And I usually just do my editing for the photos I shot the day before. And then we get a phone call and they're like, what's your date of birth? And you tell them date of birth. And they're like, okay, you're clear to work. Jeez. So that's, So we do that every single, in my zone, we do it every single day. So my zone is next to the actors, which is like the higher risk.
Right.
And we've always kind of thought like, oh, would we give it to the actors? And then we realize it's the other way around because the actors are maskless and they're kind of like nothing can hurt them kind of thing, you know?
Right.
So they're just like, woo, they're yelling and talking and vaping and just doing stupid shit. And you're just like, get me the fuck away from these people. Like, these are the people that I'll get COVID from because they're not wearing masks, you know? And in the scene, they don't wear masks. So you kind of, you know, if you're wearing a 95 and then I wear a balaclava over it, and then a lot, most people are wearing face shields. I can't shoot with a face shield. So I wear like, you know, contractor glasses, like clear,
right,
like DeWalt glasses that wrap around and can fit. So I'll, you know, I shoot like that. And it's, I wear gloves, and then I wash my gloves every night, and I wash my hands a couple times a day. You know, it's, and we just use like alcohol rubs, and there's a, you know, it's like little portly kid who walks around, you know, hand sanitizer, you know, you squirt hand sanitizer on you. And, but we're in these areas. So we shot on a stage yesterday, and there was 24 people maximum could be in this room that we were shooting in. So there's like three people there standing on the outside watching, counting us. And if there's too many, they walk, they say, you can't go in, blah, blah, blah. Right. And they have these giant, like Doctor Who Dalek kind of air purifiers that are running until we do takes. And as soon as we do takes, they turn them off so right, we can get dialogue. But, you know, and they desanitize the area where the stand-ins were and things like that. But it's, you know, it's more of a annoyance. It's not, right, it's not like, be, I could shoot like this for years and be fine. I mean, the testing is a little annoying, and I don't have to drive that far to get the test. So like, I can't imagine driving an hour and a half and then getting a test and then sitting in your car for 2 hours. I'd lose my fucking mind.
Jesus, you know,
I'd have to get up at, I'd have to get up at 3 a.m. if I was working in Manhattan right now. So, but I mean, you know,
these guys, you guys have all have to do this now. I mean, I just, I mean, the big news in the past couple of weeks was, you know, Tom Cruise losing his shit on the set of whatever movie, right, Mission Impossible. And he lost his fucking mind.
I know, but the safety standards are different everywhere. I think we're on the high end of the spectrum for safety standards, meaning you look at photos of Mission Impossible 7, and there's basically all the crew guys are wearing surgical masks, which are three-layer kind of waterproof masks, which is what a lot of people are wearing. They're saying it's safe. But it still doesn't stop the airflow from coming in either sides, where an N95 actually has a much better seal on your face. Right. And then on top of that, what I'll do is I'll tape it down on the top. And then I put a balaclava over it, which makes me look scary, but it also pushes the mask closer into my face. Huh. But, you know, I have to take breaks because after, you know, we shoot for 12 hours. So wearing a mask with tape on your face for 12 hours, you know, and especially having a balaclava on, you're just like, holy, you know, you get a little dizzy.
Do you have all like the marks on your face from the, from the?
Yeah, I have kind of like, I have like scars on my top of my nose and my under my eyes now.
Yeah, Hillary, Hillary has like that COVID.
Yeah,
wears an N95 mask.
Yeah,
every
but
day.
You gotta tape it because if you wear any kind of glasses, the your breath goes right up and it fogs your glasses. You can't see shit. And you trip, yeah, over things. So, you know, I've kind of got it down. I told them I couldn't wear the visor. The visor is more to protect yourself from touching your face. Huh. But I don't, you know, I tend to, it's the, I think a lot of the new studies are saying that it's less touch. It's less like contact. So you really don't have to clean your shit. You don't have to, you know, in summertime we had like buckets of bleach water and, yeah, and, you know, we had areas of decontamination in like, you know, tier four through tier one, you know, one of those things. But they're basically saying it's, you need to have a massive like viral load in order to get this shit from touch.
Right. Well, that's what they think to happen on Hillary, is that she was exposed to a pile of people at the same time.
Yeah.
And there was no, at the time in April,
yeah,
there was no PPE, not proper PPE. They were having to use like, you know, they had very, very, they had a rash in their PPE, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember that. They were wearing like diving masks with like HEPA filter 3D printed like extensions put on, you know?
Right. All my friends were making, yeah, those fucking things. Yeah. All the makers with like 3D printers were all, yeah, making those things for the hospitals.
Great. Yeah, yeah. Which is great. It shouldn't have to be that. That's no, insane. You know, it's stupid. You're a fucking hospital. Like, but then again, it's like, you know, it just sucks for people who take it really safe and then they get it. You know, you're like, what the fuck did I do? Like what, you know, I don't know. I get worried when I go in and out of the hotel kind of thing. Cause there's still people in the hallways who don't wear masks or something like that. Like teenage kids and shit running around. I'm like, the movie company didn't buy out the whole hotel. So we're in with the general public, which is scary. But, you know, I made sure I got a ground floor. So I just walk out the back door and, you know, but people are dumb. They're just, you know, so I basically hold my breath when I open the door and walk to my room.
The problem is it's just, there's a million problems. I mean, it's just annoying. It's just annoying. And I feel like it should have been gone a while ago.
Yeah, but we're not. The problem is until Trump gets the fuck out and until Biden basically declares martial law and sends the National Guard out to give vaccine doses, you can't help it. You're not going to change people's minds. You know, yeah. you just kind of have to, like in the beginning, you're kind of like, whoa, this is crazy. We're all going to go through this together. And then summer, you're like, well, this is kind of cool. We're outside and it's beautiful out. And then fall started hitting and people are like, holy fuck, we're broke. Or how are we going to pay anything?
Right.
And now people are just like, you know, I don't know. It's.
That's right. I got off the phone with Tony, and he was telling me that he was speaking with some people at the Culinary Institute of America. They're laying everybody off over there.
Yeah.
You know, the restaurant game, just forget it.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of my friends were in West Side Story, the new Spielberg one, and they're all on Broadway, you know, they're all Broadway people. They're all dancers and stuff. And most of them had to move home with their parents. You know, they couldn't, they're like, well, there goes my Manhattan. You know, a friend of mine was like, hey, you want to buy a washer and dryer? I was like, oh no, you guys are moving too. And they're like, yeah, we can't. And there's no work. So
it's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, my own bitching is that because of COVID, the post office was a wreck, and yeah. I had so many orders that I sent out with time to spare.
Right.
I sent stuff out in the first week of December, and it's still sitting in the way station or wherever, New Jersey. It has been there for, like, you know, I have shit that's been out forever and it's stuck in this spot.
What
New
about
Jersey.
Switching to the different carrier?
Now we have to, but there wasn't enough time to know. All of a sudden,
right.
You know, the third week of December, I started getting these messages saying, hey, is my package is you have the tracking number?
Oh,
I looked at the tracking number and it's just like, it should have been there in 2 days.
Right.
And it was a fucking wreck. It was a fucking wreck.
Yeah.
And it's because there's a lot of people with COVID in the post office and they're all fucking going home.
Sure.
And the mail now is like piling up and they can't get a hold of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, this is a depressing conversation, but I think what we should do is make it more depressing. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Cause you know, I think people are just tired of hearing this shit. I think, this is the end of the year, but whatever, fuck 2020. It's just, you know, whatever.
I do have that, you know, we'll talk a little longer, but I do have some funny stories that happened that we can talk about. But, you know, but before we do that, hey, yeah. Craig, why don't you do me a favor and drop one of those fucking ads that people are driving me crazy about right now?
Whoa, yeah.
Thank you. All right, back to the show. I had to do that now with Craig because it's like I get these messages like, you know, you guys were in the middle of a conversation and then all of a sudden the fucking ad showed up and I didn't know what the hell you guys were saying. So I'm going to start. I'm going to do that a couple times.
Big ups to Craig.
Dude, Craig went to back to from France. He lives in France. He went back to visit his family in the UK and let him back in. They just let him back in France. He's sitting pretty with like a New Year's Eve hat on and bullshit glasses with a bottle of Bollinger's. You got to pay bills. We got to get the ads.
Jeez. Yeah.
So yeah. What else?
I don't know. We got kind of the easy part of the job done because we've been on stages a lot and now we're going into society. So the next 2 months are basically like running and gunning in downtown Boston. And it's a little nerve wracking, but it's actually where I do better work. It's just, you know, we're in the general public, which is a little scarier, but it's Boston. You know, Boston is actually pretty good. Like you walk downtown, you know, everybody, because half the universities are fucking closed, it's really quiet. Plus it's also fucking freezing cold out. So not a lot of people just like hanging out. And everybody I saw in downtown wears masks. You know, they all wear masks, but you still, you know, if you're shooting near a museum, there's still like groups of people walking by you and you're just like, ugh. I mean, that's why it helps to look like a fucking Serbian warlord, you know? So just the people just get the fuck out of your way.
Yeah. For all those that don't know, Nico dresses like a true ninja. He's like head to toe black. No one's coming near him. You look like you're about to get an RV and then put a couple bombs in it and bring it down to Nashville.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that too soon? Too soon for that one?
No, not at all. It's never too soon. And my cameras, I hold the camera strapped to my chest, so they basically look like machine guns.
Yeah. You know? I love that you do that. But I would think that there's not that many. If you're out in the streets and stuff like that, I would imagine that you're not going to have a big problem with like the general public in terms of COVID and stuff like that.
No, it's not that. You know, I think I just, you know, every time I leave the truck, I always say like, time to go scare the locals. And it's usually what I, you know, it's I don't know. It's my look, the way I've kind of tuned the way I shoot is more built for studio settings and right. people in the movie business who are like, oh, cool. But on the streets, if you're walking by yourself looking the way I look, it's actually a little scary. It's like, you know, thanks to fucking Antifa for stealing my look. But you know, people are like people and, you know, and basically like rogue, like, you know, white supremacists who like to wear all black, you know, it's thanks guys.
Yeah, but you got the card on saying where you're from.
To wear my pass and all that stuff. But it's still, it's just like, you know, cops will literally just like fucking follow me. I mean, really? Rightfully so. Of course. I have to have my pass pretty much in full sight. It's like showing everybody, see, I'm not going to kill anybody.
In regards to like Hollywood, just out of curiosity, have you seen the Mandalorian?
Yeah, of course. Duh.
Can I tell you what's crazy?
Are you going to spoil it for people?
No, I will not spoil it. I promise you I will not spoil it because I hate that shit. And P.S.
When Baby Yoda dies, it's just like, oh, wait, no.
Oh, P.S. Oh, by the way, don't remember. Guess who spoiled the Joker for me before they even started filming it?
Who is that? Did
you.
I?
You. You. Oh, yeah. You told me the whole fight. He's like, yeah, we're going to the Joker. This is what's going to happen at the end. I'm like, I'm not going to see this goddamn movie now. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm not spoiling it. But here's what's interesting about that show. The fact that the whole thing is not even just about the Star Wars bullshit, but the whole thing is surrounding it. He doesn't take the mask off. And the guy says, you know, the blacksmith, you know, armor says, has anyone seen your face? No. Do you take your mask off? No. Has anyone taken your mask off? No. And it's just the fact that we're now having this like kind of like connection with like taking your mask off.
I never thought of that.
It's so crazy. That part is like so crazy. No one can see your face. And is anyone taking your mask off? And why aren't you wearing? And anytime he sees another one of the Mandalorians, he says, how come you took your mask off? You're a bad person. I think that's why we call ourselves like COVID Orthodox, because it's like, we're like zealots, like the Mandalorian.
But I love how the anti-masker Mandalorian call the Mandalorian a religious zealot.
Right, you know? right. Yeah, that's the best part. Like, oh, you're an, you don't know what you're fucking talking about. Yeah. And then I'm not going to say what happens, but at the same time, it's like there's the fact that there is this weird connection between him not taking his mask off and now us, we're, you know, do we put our masks on? Don't put our mask on. That's probably been the one thing that has been more interesting to me, that there's this weird, you know, I mean, it's incredible coincidence. You know?
Yeah, that's true. The movie I'm working on right now is all about that. It's a dark comedy about the end of the world and a comet coming. And basically, the president is very Trumpish, and who's a woman played by Meryl Streep, and she's basically saying, you know, it's an election year, so I don't want to fucking tell people they're going to die because I want to get reelected. Right. And so there's the whole. The movie's called Don't Look Up, because there's a half of the world says don't look up, meaning like there's no comet coming, just live your life. And the others are the look uppers who are basically, you know, saying, no, we're all gonna fucking die unless we prepare for this.
Do you think people are gonna be like, I don't know if I can handle this, I had enough of
it? Well, it's on Netflix, so it's one of those things. It already has a buyer, you know. It's like, but it's the guy who directed Vice, and if you haven't seen Vice, the movie about Dick Cheney, it's fucking great. It's really great. Super dark, but in a really funny way. You know, it's great. And it's one of those things that being around this director, you know, when you're around people who are, who are like too smart for stand up, you know?
Yeah.
Like people who are just so kind of darkly, cynically brilliant that you're just like, how the fuck did you just think of that one liner? Like, they're the guys you want to have after, like in the middle of an argument for every single smart, funny comeback. And he's this guy, Adam McKay, is a director. And, you know, he's just, it's hilarious what the fuck he comes out of his mouth. Because he can't direct by walking up to the actors and saying like stuff because of the new protocol. So he's basically in this like walled off, you know, kind of Oz plastic walls, you know, and he has a microphone. We have speakers all around. So he just like the voice of God and he just talks to the actors, but he'll like throw them lines in the middle of scenes. And it's really hard not to just burst out laughing because they're just so fucked up. And it's just like, it's like the comedy that you wish you had the top of your brain, you know?
I just, when we visited you, when you guys were on the set of Mother, mm-hmm. I feel like this acting thing is not easy.
Oh my God. I can't, you know, even the lines that he'll throw out, you're just like, wait, what proportional Senate override committee? Did you just say that? And people like, you know, Leo DiCaprio even is just like, fuck, can I get a cue card for that? That's insane. And it's true. You're just like, you know, you have these things memorized, but somebody like this director who wrote the script is constantly rewriting it, but he hired actors who are, you know, Meryl Streep. They're so fucking on top of their game that they're like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And they nail it. And you're like, holy fuck, I can't, like your brain memory and the way you can emote is like beyond, you know, you just can't, and not laugh. Like, how can you not, you know, like Jonah Hill will sometimes kind of burst out laughing, but it's kind of in his character, but it's one of those things that everybody has to keep a straight face.
Do you think that these guys have to like, I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, no.
I was wondering, do you think that there's like some type of like extra confidence that these people have to have before they can kind of be comfortable?
I think it depends on who it is. I think someone like Daniel Day-Lewis, who's granted he's pretty gifted, but I think he has a very hard time acting. I think he does what a lot of actors do, which is called method acting, which is basically you become that person. Whether you're filming or not filming, during that duration, you become the person. So, you know, there's the famous thing of when he was shooting Lincoln for Spielberg, he like went to, they're shooting in like somewhere in, I don't know, Oklahoma or something like that. He would go to the downtown cafe with the fucking Lincoln outfit and he would have people call him Mr. President. Literally, that's true. So, I mean, that's a stretch. That's when you're like, you know, if it was anybody but Daniel Day, you'd be like, dude, go fuck yourself. but I think that a lot of actors have a hard time. And I remember Natalie Portman on Black Swan. It was hard for her to get in those kind of dark places. And Darren would just relentlessly just go at her, you know, just be like, you know, you're not worth it. You need to like, you know, you just kind of like berate her. And she finally would just break down after take like 25. And that would be the cut. That would be the circle, you know, of the scene. And I just think that, you know, a really good actor, I think doesn't, I think there's differences in people who have to really work hard at it and people who are just kind of gifted. I think Jen Lawrence is one of those kind of gifted people who just can just do it. She doesn't really memorize her lines. She kind of comes, you know, she prepares the night before, but when she comes in, if Adam throws her a different line, she's like, holy shit, but she'll just nail it. I, you know, it doesn't look like it's a lot of effort on her part to do certain things, but there's definitely effort on other people's part. I know Leo really gets into it, you know, his character, like he sounds like his character when he's not rolling, you know, he plays an astronomer. So, he says gosh a lot. but it's, you know, I have a lot of respect. I think over the years, I think my respect level has kind of just jumped through the roof with them. Cause I'm like, I don't know if you've earned every penny, but you're definitely, I don't envy them at all. Like that is just a different world for me. It's like getting up on stage and playing in a band in front of 50,000 people that wouldn't bother me a bit. Like that doesn't, because I think your music, you're physically doing something that is translating to the audience. You know, you've already done it. You've already recorded the album, you whatever, you know, and the audience has listened to it and knows it. But with an acting or a theater or something like that, that's a fucking different level. I don't know. You're out there pretty naked.
And you have to be able to be, it's like, I would just think, like, especially on a movie set with all the different people, with the camera guys and the lighting and the everything, all the people sitting around, if you make a mistake, the clock is still running.
Yeah, it can be tough. It can be really hard. And a lot of times I've left rooms because the actor is just like, couldn't get the line and was just really furious with himself. And at that point, you're like, I don't really need to be shooting this. In fact, I could be a lightning rod for this dude. So, you know, you kind of like step away in the shadows and you're like, okay, you know, daddy's angry right now. It's frustrating, of course. You know, some people, I mean, Al Pacino had to have his lines read to him, an Irishman. You know, they had somebody in this booth would read him lines. And there's a lot of people who do that. You know, I think Johnny Depp has his lines read to him and shit like that. You know,
have you been on a lot of sets where like things get really, really uncomfortable? You don't have to say names.
Yeah. No,
like,
I don't
really like the director's just like, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, I guess so. Those always kind of come out of left field. You know, you most of the time you're not on the inside scoop. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, mommy and daddy are fighting. And then you're like, holy shit. They're like, and then you either step away and the grips kind of walk up to like break up a fight or something like that. But that, I think that's only happened like twice on, you know, 40 movies. It's pretty rare, like very rare. I think because there's so much pre-production and there's so much back and forth with actors and directors and producers and cinematographers that, you know, you have 4 months of prep, 5 months of prep. And that's the time you kind of iron things out. I think there's a story that just came out about Olivia Wilde, this actress who directed a film last year, and she's directing something, and our friend Maddie Lee Batik is shooting it. And supposedly she had hired Shia LaBeouf to be the main actor, and she fired him before the production started, you know, because he's a fucking wacko. And so, but you hear that story and you're like, oh my God, can you imagine if they were in production and she fired the main actor while they were, you know, in they had to reshoot shit. I mean, look at Kevin Spacey. They had to fucking reshoot all that shit they did on the last movie he did.
Really?
You know, they hired a completely different dude to come in and reshoot all those scenes. I forget what it was. It was like a Ridley Scott thing or something like that. Oh, it's millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, but it's, you know, no one would have gone and seen it. Imagine like after Kevin Spacey's fucking, you know, all the news comes out about him. And then he's like, oh yeah, whatever. I touch boys. And then they release a movie with him as the main actor. You imagine how many people would have fucking seen it? None.
Dude.
Maybe like 10. Yeah.
Those things are always the craziest when like a movie's just about to come out and the star does something fucking.
Well, that's the same, you know, crazy. Same thing that happened with West Side Story. Everyone freaked out because in the springtime when West Side Story was still supposed to release this Christmas, Ansel Elgort, the main actor, was like supposedly like, you know, forced himself on a girl in high school.
What?
And you were just like, you know, and the news broke out and all the, I remember talking to some of the actors and they're just like, ugh, you know, fuck. Hope that kind of blows over. You're like, yeah.
Oh, God. The whole thing just seems like, I think that a lot of people think that they know what they want in terms of being a movie star or something like that, but I don't think they do.
Most people in the business who work like I do as crew would never, ever have their kids in a fucking movie. Like, maybe to come in to like, you know, be like a background of Mandalorian for a day, but no one wish sweet hell on their children to be an actor. I think it's just socially castrating in every sense of the word. Like it's just like the kid actors that I know, like Natalie Portman, and there's a, you know, a bunch of others who started very young. I remember hearing somewhere that they stop socially growing after they become famous, you know?
Huh.
So Natalie Portman was on what? The fucking that French the Professional, you know?
Right,
with whatever that big dude is. And
Jean
Reno. And she was what, like 10 or something like that? 9? And I think socially you kind of just stop because you become so insulated from the rest of the world. You know, you become, you have minders and scouts and assistants, like a coven, or they would like hover around you all the time. Nobody can get to you. So to actually have a one-on-one with a stranger just doesn't exist, you know?
But there are other people like Eddie Furlong. I love the Eddie Furlong story because we just actually saw the new, not the new, you know, he was in Terminator 2. He was a kid, right, in Terminator 2. He had a great look, the whole thing. Then he was in Detroit Rock City. I don't, right, know if you've seen that fucking fun movie. It's all about going to see Kiss in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was good.
We just saw that recently. It's an awesome movie. It's an awesome
movie. It was a little while. It was a pretty while ago. It was like after T2, right? It was like,
oh, yeah, it was after T2. Yeah, for sure. But it'd be, and then that's it. And he's on Cameo telling people, I'm doing this because I want your money.
What's Cameo?
You don't know Cameo? This is what
this is. Oh my God, this sounds like this sounds off. This sounds like the movie that we're actually shooting right now. You don't know what Cameo is? How many, you haven't gotten the third diddle of the day?
What's the third diddle of the day?
I don't know. It's just stupid shit that people come up with.
I can't believe you of all people don't know about Cameo. So Cameo is like a service where if you're famous, you will
I think I've heard of this. You'll have dinner with somebody or something weird.
Oh, dinner. You can somebody can pay for you to say happy birthday to someone.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. The what's his name? Steve Guttenberg was doing that.
Yeah.
I think I saw that on like the Late Show or something like that. Guttenberg was like,
all these guys, and they have a different pecking order in terms of their price and you know, all these different shows and athletes. It's always like these like B-listers or C-listers. It's just like, right, people who really don't want to be there.
Right.
But it's turned into something so fascinating because it's this like, you know, Jeremy Piven, who is from Entourage.
Yeah.
He's got all these like terrible Yelp reviews because they want him to be his character and he just doesn't want to fucking do it.
Right.
So he charges like $300 to, you know, to do, to, you know, send a video message to your friend.
Right.
And then they leave these reviews like, you know, we really wanted you to be the character, the Ari character from Entourage, and you didn't do it. And we spent a lot of money and, you know, be real nice. We gave you notes and you wouldn't do it. And he's just like, you can tell these guys just like, this is what my life has come down to. I have to like say, wish happy birthday to Uncle George.
Yeah.
You know, and tell him the good luck with the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks. No, thanks. That doesn't sound like, it's depressing. It's like, I don't know. I've been listening to this great podcast. It's called Wind of Change. It's made by this investigative reporter, this war reporter who's got friends in the CIA. And it's all about the Scorpion song, Wind of Change, right? The whistling and shit. And supposedly it was a kind of covert op thing to that the CIA wrote Wind of Change for the Scorpions to sing to end the Cold War.
Really?
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. So this guy like jumps down this like CIA rabbit hole that just goes way deeper than you think. And you're just like, holy shit, like what the CIA, like the Knox and all these, you know, special ops guys and you know, rollbacks and all these weird like spook shit. And I forgot what the fuck I was going with it.
No, but so back to the podcast. So the CIA wrote Wind of Change.
Supposedly. Somebody at the CIA like dinner thing, there was all these operatives, and this old dude was like, oh yeah, we orchestrated that. Like we did that. And someone was like, wait, what? Like you CIA, they had like either hired somebody to write it for Scorpions, you know, and but then it goes into this whole thing about the manager. Their manager was this guy, Doc McGee, who managed Motley Crue and all these other bands. And they had this huge show in Russia in 1989 called like the, you know, Concert for Peace and something or other. But it was like, it was an anti-drug message, and they realized that the fucking manager had to do it because he was part of a multi-billion-dollar marijuana cocaine ring with Noriega.
What?
And yeah, smuggling tons and tons of marijuana and cocaine from Panama with Noriega's help up into the U.S. and North Carolina and Louisiana up to Detroit and stuff. And he got busted, he got indicted, and he served zero time. And they're basically saying, like, the guy who opened the gate for the trucks to come in got 5 years. But the dude who orchestrated it got zero time because he had to put on these concerts that were basically anti-drug concerts. But they were in fucking Russia in 1989. So, yeah, with, like, Scorpions and Skid Row, Motley Crue, all the bands that Doc McGee had managed. And they were kind of like, well, how... like, why are we doing this concert? And the bands didn't give a shit. They were just like, you know, Bon Jovi was one of his person people too. And they, you know, the bands didn't give a shit. They're like, oh, I get plastered and go to fucking Moscow and whatever, play in Red Square. But, and then right after, Scorpions, you know, came out with a song based on the show they played. And, you know, it's like following the Moscow River at Gorky Park. It's like all the lyrics, you know, are about this, about East and West Germany and Russia, right, and the old Soviet Union. And they say that that played a major role in the end of the Cold War. The end of the USSR was, you know, social unrest of youth. And when youth gets a little older and they can vote and they're more, you know, attuned to shit. It's like the Arab Spring. It's the same thing, you know. They say that Dr. Zhivago also played a big role in it in 1966 when they made it. It had a big sway. Like, the book was supposedly banned everywhere in Russia, and they released the movie because they wanted Russians to see, and it was in Russian. They had it, they basically had made it for Russians, like the Americans did. This crazy shit. Like, you know,
what's the name of this podcast?
Wind of Change.
Wind of Change. All right.
Yeah. I think it's on like Pineapple Street, which is Pineapple Media, which is part like Spotify. You know, Spotify owns like all these.
Okay.
It's like Wondery or something like that. But Spotify, I think it's called Pineapple Media or something like that. But it's great. It's one of these things. Like, I love podcasts like that where you learn weird shit and you hear interviews from weird fucking people and you're like, holy crap. Like, you know, it's kind of great.
What was that podcast that the NPR did that was great? It was about the guy who may or may not have killed his girlfriend. You know what I'm talking about? It was out a couple years ago.
Not Dr. Death. There's a bunch of those.
Like, no, there was a famous one that was like Serial. It was called Serial.
Oh, Serial. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Anand Said. Yeah.
The first one was amazing.
Yeah.
But the second one I thought was even better.
Yeah, the second one about the guy goes AWOL.
The guy who goes AWOL in Afghanistan. I thought that was far more interesting because it was this huge.
And it was continuing. So after the podcast got done, then you could see like there was a trial was held for that dude.
That's right.
Like, holy shit. I think investigative journalistic podcasting is like my favorite shit. My least favorite shit to listen to is what we're doing right now.
Two
dipshits just talking about random crap, and all you hear is their fucking whiny ass voices.
Well, when we did this before, I mean, it was meant to be. I mean, I always had such a good time when we did the downward spiral because it was like we would do this, and it was it's totally self-serving.
But I think I like having guests on more. Remember that one where we had Wally come down? And we did the whole podcast about small business and like, you know, I forget what the fuck episode it was, but Wally was there. Sonny was there. We talked about, cause Wally was a financial advisor to this big, you know, Hartford money conglomerate.
Business. Yeah.
And so we talked a lot about money and things like that and managing your money. I thought that was great. Like, it definitely was very less spiral cause we didn't talk about cannibalism, You know, I like those casts when we can kind of talk about things. I personally don't want like listening to that shit because it just gets too boring. I like interviews with people, and I like hearing like old scratchy tapes of shit. And the Scorpions one's great because I love the Scorpions. So, you know, these interviews with Klaus Meine, who's the lead singer, is really funny. He's, you know, just this goofy German dude. But, yeah. Anyway.
Here's the thing with, especially with the Makery Network and other shows on the Makery Network. the people who listen to this podcast and the other ones on the Maker Network.
People listen to this podcast?
Oh, doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. We're actually doing really good. The numbers are good.
On the spiral.
Oh, the numbers in the spiral are, I mean, yeah. Thank God the numbers in the spiral. There were some episodes that were so gratuitously bad.
We should have been banned in Russia. Yeah.
So, but it's people who working in their shops and they're trying to be kept comfortable or kept company. And, you know, when we first started doing the downward spiral, I was listening to Opie and Anthony and Howard Stern and all these radio guys. And they, while I was in my shop, they were keeping me company.
Yeah.
And there's so many people like that working by themselves in their sheds and they want like company. And what happens is like this one, like I had a number of great interviews this year, on with different shows, and it says something to people, and I'm super pumped. I started this, the Full Blast podcast, and Craig started the Makery Network right on the cusp of the coronavirus, because I was saying, you know, people are at home, they want their minds taken away from for the most part.
Brains blue.
They want to be occupied. They want to be kept company and occupied, and content is king. And when we talked about it, I said, dude, we started doing Knife Talk. We started adding episodes.
Yeah.
And it was great, but it was just like, I can only talk about knife making for so long. And I just want to like do, you know, this kind of shit, just whatever. And like, I'll interview people from, you know, everything, and it'll be interesting, but I'm amazed at how many people love to listen to podcasts because they want their time managed. You know, they want to be taken away, you know.
Right.
And it's different than watching a YouTube video or a TV show, because you can actually do things and listen at the same time.
But it's funny, you know, if I'm about to go for a long drive and I look at the podcast, like what to listen to. And if the show is 15 minutes, I'll be like, no fucking way. If like, give me a 40 to like an hour, like,
right.
Per episode. Perfect. Like I want to get involved, listen, and not have to like reach for the, you know, the phone to change the next podcast.
Well, with that said, I'm going to change it out. We have a new, we're going to
gap for like 50 minutes.
No, it's okay. I have news stories that we can, what I thought we could do is like, I'll just bring them up. Funny stories that have happened, weird stories that have happened. And you can say, let's do it. Or you can say, no, let's go to skip this one. But before we do that, Craig, drop a load on us because, or no, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that, but just back.
Okay,
back,
Jeff, let's do it.
I mean, I meant to say is Craig, you just back one in nicely right over here and the parking spot's clear. Put an ad right over here. Okay. Now, I don't know what to do.
It worked so well.
It was, I shouldn't have said.
Can this be off the record?
No, this is going to be
completely on the record.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Can this be off the record?
No, I want him to. Well, here's the funny.
Off the record.
Here, listen to me. Listen. The funny thing is recently people have been bitching to all the podcasts on this network that you know the ads are put in these inopportune times. So, like Chris Zapp,
isn't every ad inopportune?
Well, I mean, if
I literally count down how many seconds it takes for the ad when I'm driving, and I'll forward it by clicks on my steering wheel.
Oh, you're crazy. Now you're really crazy. You can't just kind of gut it.
No, because I'm like, I was listening to the one, listening to one about alien, you know, Area 51. And there was a minute and a half ad, which is 8 clicks on my steering wheel. Minute and a half about like shoes and air fresheners.
Well,
like,
here's the funnier part is we've all been starting to bitch about it because people, what'd you say?
Can I not talk about this?
No, you can talk about whatever you want. I'm just saying that people have been bitching. And then when we start to talk about how inopportune the ads are, Craig's like, this is when I'm going to put in the ad. That's his new favorite part. His new favorite part is to make us look stupid. So, now I'm trying to like, I'm going to try to like give him like a landing zone for these.
That's a great, yeah. I mean, I like the idea of Craig just literally putting the ad like in the middle of it. Yeah. Like that, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, people get angry. We actually had some iTunes ads saying, you know, iTunes review saying, oh, I love this podcast, but I hate the goddamn ad. So whatever. All right. So I'm going to just read you a couple and you say, if this interests you, we'll go for it. If not, we'll go for the next one. Yeah. Coconut Water Company offers a Twitter critic a sip of urine. Does that sound interesting?
No, go to the next one.
Okay. Penguins shoot poop bombs.
Why is all our stuff scatological?
Well, I try to look for something that's funny. When I have like guys like Alex Steele on, or I have like Nick Angers on, I can't be talking about poop, but I think it's funny, and you know, you're free to find articles yourself.
But we could talk about the Nashville bomber is kind of funny because no one was hurt.
Well, it's not that
except funny. For that dipshit who died, and his name happens to be like QAnon.
All right. You don't want coconut water, and you don't want.
Well, it's urine and feces, so let's skip to blood.
Well, I have 50 things stuck in people's buttholes from ER doctors.
Mm. Yeah, that could be fun.
Okay.
All right. But it involves, again, it's like fecal.
Fine. That's it. It's going to, I mean.
But I like the idea of reverse fecal.
Yes, this is going to be, this is a website that 50 hilarious, how did I get that up my butt? Stories from in the emergency room, and then I'm going to read them off, and if you want elaboration, I will gladly provide elaboration.
Are these all in x-ray like
these what? Are yeah. up the ass
yeah
these are up the ass things
a whole Barbie doll
a whole Barbie doll mm-hmm. All right, I'll just read it so to give you an idea, because there's 50 of them. That's you can lot. All right. When I was interning at a trauma center, a dude said he went to his daughter's bathroom, and since his wife was taking a while in the shower, says he slipped up and a whole Barbie doll went up his ass.
Can you imagine slipping and falling on a vertical Barbie?
When we did the x-ray, we saw Barbie. Not only was she way up there, but her arms were straight up and her hair Holy was shit. Everywhere. She went and it really... She looked like she was having a good time. So, I think that the moral of the story is everyone says it slipped. I don't know how you slip and have a, it's like if Barbie's hands are straight up, it's like Barbie dough into your butthole.
Right. Yeah.
All right. There's a frozen fish. Frozen fish.
Jesus. How the fuck do you get that out?
Well, here's the problem. This one is kind of grotesque because the dude was found lying face down on his couch, completely naked, with a fishtail sticking from between his cheeks. Oh. Firefighters and paramedics were trying their best not to laugh.
No way. You can't. You got to open that dude up.
He never gave an excuse. All he said was, it was frozen when it went in. LOL. The fish thawed up his ass.
Yeah.
And the scales made it so he couldn't pull it back out.
Sure.
You know, that was like those fins on the top.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's what I'm talking about. That's the whole thing. Like the fins on the top, you can't even get your glove off it. Never mind your smooth anus.
Shaving cream can.
That's normal.
Golf ball. That sounds pretty tame. Here, a mango, and this is the best thing the guy said I heard it, the mangoes are good for hemorrhoids.
He jammed it up his butthole.
He only did the logical thing. When he armed his information, he put his mango up the butt. There's another mango guy. A rubber snake. My ex-girlfriend. Okay, no rubber snake. A stack of Legos.
Depends on how big the stack was.
Well, not me, but a friend told me the story when she was in med school. She went to a hospital and a male patient came out complaining of stomach pains. Apparently, he was moving very carefully because it determined he had likely had something in his ass. When they did an x-ray, they saw a stack of Legos in the man's colon, complete with a little Lego person at the top. And with his little Lego arm sticking up. That's the fucking God. Best
That's
part
of the poster.
God damn. The all poster. These
Can you imagine that? Oh, my God. That poster, just a giant poster. That's the new Lego movie.
She called me on her break to tell me about this and how she could never look at Legos the same way.
Yeah, no, that's amazing.
Why do they all have to stick their arms up? Why do they have to make it like they're diving? Because
they tried to pull it out, and then as they're pulling it, the arms go up.
Yeah, they umbrella it out.
Yeah,
I just don't know why they need the dudes. I don't know why they need the little people.
Well, it's for your, like, you know, hey, little, you got to talk to somebody. They're like, okay, we're going to go in now.
But just to let you know, we're only on number nine.
Number nine.
There's number nine. There's a
well, light get bulb. To like the heavy machinery stuff.
Well, do you tell me when to stop? There's a cucumber.
No.
Summer sausage. That sounds pretty. A large tree branch.
Oh, Jesus. That sounds like
a friend of mine.
That sounds like deliverance.
A friend of mine is an EMT, and last year you responded to a call of a young teenage boy with rectal bleeding and a colorectal foreign body, which is fancy pants medical speak for something's lodged in his butt.
Tree up his ass.
God, it sounds like this is going to be bad, but it isn't going to be bad. Turns out that a 15-year-old boy with a large tree branch stuck in his butt had been experimenting. He made a terrible judgment calling to call 911.
He wasn't like the kid running from the what's that serial killer's name?
Right. They had to like make a whole thing. They had to make an edit. The kid was fine. Edit. The kid was not attacked or raped. Okay. They did call Child Protective Services. This guy's he's fooling around. They called Child Protective Services.
I mean, they kind of have to. Remember the cops who sent that kid back into the house in Chicago? What the fuck was that guy's name?
Tree branch seems a little bit extreme, right?
You gotta help me out. What was that guy's name?
Who?
The Chicago serial killer guy who ate the kids.
Oh, that's Jeffrey Dahmer.
Dahmer. Yeah. Remember that? And the kid comes running out and his ass all covered in blood and the cops are like, pat him on the back, say, okay, no, there's your uncle. Go back inside. And it was a black kid or something like that. It's like, dude, what the fuck? Yeah.
That was, ladies and gentlemen, that was the correct downward spiral right there. I'm going to bring it back up.
well, we were talking about, you know, bleeding asses and stuff. And that's what just came to mind.
There's a toothbrush. A toothbrush.
No, but these you got to get like
two wedding rings.
Something that's move, like something alive or something that's
okay. I'm working on it.
Way too big.
We're only at 14. Two wedding rings,
like a chainsaw or something. No,
that's a chorizo sausage, a shampoo bottle.
Those are all kind of cute.
A Jason Voorhees mask.
That's impossible. unless it's like a 1/8 scale figure.
Whenever somebody comes in with something in their butt, they start to make excuses. They get made fun of, and they will see people. However, he says that with a few times somebody has come up with a straight to the point and said, "Yo, I like doing tinky stuff with my butt, and now I have a Jason Voorhees mask stuck in my prostate." Things went swiftly and with no embarrassment whatsoever, or more importantly, mirth from the staff.
But was it a, I don't get it. Is it a plastic mask? Full-size plastic mask?
I don't know. He says, I'm not going to fuck around. I shoved this right up my butt. I would think it was probably plastic and he rolled it up like a newspaper.
Yeah, he rolled it up. That's the only way he could have done it.
I mean, why that of all things?
Once it got past the edge,
right,
it unfurled.
or something. These people are crazy.
Like a sheetrock screw. Yeah. What?
Here's a firecracker. Want to hear about a firecracker?
Hopefully he lit it.
Not a doctor, but a friend of mine recently had a stick break off his ass. He wanted to imitate something off of Jackass, so he shoved the stick end of a firecracker up his butt. We lit it, and the force propelled him into an awkward stumble. As he fell backwards on his ass, the firecracker broke and the stick became lodged in his ass.
You know, the funny thing is, I bet you 99% of these people are white males.
Oh, 100%. 99. I'm like, why are you giving anybody any? Why are you giving any credit to anybody else? Why are you sympathetic?
White people are fucking dudes. Are just so dumb. Like, what is the stupidest?
I mean, if you have a kid,
yeah,
and you're waiting for your wife to come out of the shower, what would possess you to put your child's toy up your ass? I mean, it's like then you got to get rid of it. You can't let your kid play with a Barbie doll that's been up your ass.
Huh.
Medium-sized Yankee Candle. A Virgin Mary figurine.
That's pretty good. That's pretty prophetic. Yeah,
that's blasphemous.
That's some extra shit going on.
Jesus Christ. An old friend of mine back in nursing school said a patient had come in because they inserted a Mary, Mother of Jesus, up his ass. Will Seltzer. I'm sorry if I'm reading this. You just skip past this one, everybody. He said he fell over it and it was super embarrassed. Everyone was shocked. I also fell over it.
I fell over it.
these people have to be, I mean, if you fall over something, then you're also, you kind of have to be naked. Because when
you're naked,
with your pants, sure. your pants and your underpants kind of stop things from going up your butt.
Out of the shower and this entire week.
He said he fell over. He's super embarrassed. Everyone was shocked, not by him inserting it, but it was because it was the Virgin Mary. Surely he could have done this with a vegetable or anything else, but he went straight for the mother of Jesus.
Or a Jesus statue. Yeah.
All right, let's go to another one. Because this is like
a billiards ball. Oh, you don't. I'll get you another story in a second. I'm just going to a remote control, four tennis balls, a giant rock. Just tell me when to stop. A stemless wine glass, PVC pipe, a soy sauce bottle, carrot, a handle of hairbrush, an entire Lego set. a glass jar with a screwdriver, a bottle of hydrogen peroxide, a flashlight, a garden gnome.
Bullshit. Garden gnome. That's amazing.
Butternut squash, a jar of Smucker's grape jelly. They had to give you the flavor. Peanut butter jar, hairspray bottle, a large shower head, including the metal hose, a tomato sauce bottle, a coconut, a large potato, an empty Corona bottle, an ornamental frog, a prosthetic hand.
Whoa.
And a bottle of Dijon mustard.
I just keep thinking, keep seeing these like pasty, like kind of like, you know, hairy, pasty white dudes like on their back in the bathroom, like doors locked. Yeah. Someone's knocking on the door and they're like, I'm busy. And they're trying to jam, you know, a prosthetic hand up their ass. I don't know. It's like,
1 minute.
I can't picture anybody else.
I'll be there in a minute.
It's nothing fun. Yeah, it's nothing, and it's like family dudes, you know, like midlife crisis dudes or something, you know. I better try something different. Give me a Barbie doll.
Well, I mean, they're obviously just, they're looking at it, and they're people are so wacko.
And these are the people that we're trusting to, like, put the coronavirus back in the freezer.
Dude, this frozen fish looks like it'll fit right in my ass. I hope it doesn't defrost.
I hope it doesn't defrost and like kill the 500 doses of the vaccine.
It must have been in there for a while to defrost that quickly. But all
right. Well, you got to think your butthole's got to be hot. All right, let's move on.
Here's a story of an illegal winery busted at a Alabama sewage plant. You want to hear about that?
You know what? I want to hear about that because I saw that popped up on my Google News feed.
Yeah.
And I was like, it looked pretty elaborate and I was actually pretty impressed.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bummer that they got busted.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you work at a sewage treatment plant and you're actually making wine on the side inside the treatment plant, fucking hats off. I swear to God, like, I mean, it's fermenting, you know, it's you're in a kind of a good environment for it.
But wine is one of those things that's like, there's like these complex tastes and there's this thing called terroir, which is all about you've taste like the ground.
Ooh,
like,
la la.
You know, no, that's a big thing on wine, like certain wine.
How come I've never heard it? I've been drinking wine since I was five and I haven't heard terroir.
My dad was a wine.
That's right. Oh, you.
Trust me. Terroir is you can taste the ground that it was. All right. So let's read the story. So, this is in Rainesville, Alabama. A sheriff's official says that they busted an illegal winery that was operating at a municipal sewage plant in a small town in northern Alabama.
I mean, I wouldn't call this a winery. It's more like a prison, like a prison, like fruit cup kind of like.
They're calling it a winery. I mean, they call it a winery.
Yeah, I can crush grapes together and call it a winery too.
The DeKalb County Sheriff's Office said it, in a statement, it received an anonymous tip about an alcohol operation at a municipal building in the town of Rainesville. Investigators then uncovered what they described as a large illegal winery inside the Rainesville wastewater treatment plant.
Did you see photos of that? Are there photos there?
There are photos. There are photos of like these giant jugs.
Yeah,
but it's red wine in
this room. And you're like, what the fuck? There's like kind of wood around, like these weird casts that they put. I don't know. It's one of those things you're like, fuck, like they were really bored and they really were into wine. I mean, that's kind of awesome. I mean, it's one thing to like build
a still that could explode and send shit flying for a half a mile. But it's another thing to just to make wine. These guys just wanted to make fucking wine.
Photos released by investigators show glass containers, buckets, and fermenting racks, and other equipment often used by people who make wine at home. The agency said officers seized a lot of illegal alcohol and arrests are expected. The town of 5,100 people is 100 miles northeast of Birmingham. We want to thank the mayor for his cooperation and willingness to allow law enforcement to do our job and shut something like this down. This is definitely one of the biggest operations we've seen in our county and possibly our state. Yeah, it's legal to make a limited amount of wine at home in Alabama, but it's illegal to have more than 15 gallons of homemade beer or wine at a time.
15 gallons? That doesn't seem like much.
Seem like a lot, right? Police photos show multiple fermenting vessels filled with what appears to be more than 100 gallons of white and red liquid.
Jeff, I lost you.
So these guys were, it seems like a lot of work to just, why not just do it in your home? Like, you know,
well, maybe they were working like two shifts at the shitter, you know, like they just they could, you know, they didn't have time. And they're like, you know, that's the thing is like wine has to be done in kind of a perfect environment. And you got to think it's like maybe the humidity is perfect there. Maybe, you know, it's all dark. It's like where they were in that place. And then wine can't see sun. So they were like, oh, this is great. Like, we can't do it at home because there's no room. Maybe we live in a fucking duplex, you know,
like- it's like. I could see it being like, you know, we're working at the sewage plant and maybe one guy makes a little bit for Christmas party or something.
Yeah. And it turns out to be fucking dynamite.
Yeah.
You know? And then you're like, holy shit, dude, you got to make more of this. And he's like, really?
Will you help me?
Okay. That sounds awesome. I got a couple glass jars.
Great.
That are under 15 gallons.
Where are we gonna get the grapes? We can't grow them out here.
I mean, I'm really proud of these guys. This is the maker show, right? Like, this is go guys. God, that's awesome.
I mean, they're gonna go down. Yeah. I mean, they got problems. I mean, it probably would have been better if they grew weed.
It's wine. It's probably better if they fucking like curated opium in there or fucking you know, kerosene, some fucking good hat or like good, like, you know, heroin just to
see. I would think that growing weed would be a lot easier because
making wine is a different whole, you don't rely on a ton of growing weed. I think is a lot more expensive. You have to deal with electricity, and especially if there's sunlight,
right?
You gotta deal with like your temperature, soil, all that stuff. You have to constantly maintain it, where I think wine, you're like, let's do a batch and let it sit inside this dark room for, you know, a month. Like, I think it's a little different. You know, I think there's more like, let's just get a wine press.
I think the only reason why this is a story is because it was at a sewage
plant. That's the thing. But you know, how dirty was it? Were you, they like in, I mean, the tanks doing it? Like,
sewage is in the name. It's like, it's not even, I mean, who cares how dirty it was? I mean, if you know, it's in the name. It's bad enough.
You know what? Maybe that's some good, you know, kind of like, what do they call it? Tannins or terpenoids, something that like works its way in to help the yeasting process.
Right. Right. Yeah. The yeasting process. Yeah.
They should have made beer. That would have been better.
All right. Well, I'm going back to a funny story. This is this 2019. This is a coconut water brand representative invited her Twitter critic to drink urine. In recent years, we've seen a big shift in corporate brands trying to interact with customers through social media, to varying levels of success, but nobody would have expected just how far one beverage brand would go this year. In what can only be called an extreme PR move that made for one of the year's funniest news stories, the coconut water brand Vita Coco tweeted a photo of a jar of human urine to one of the online critics, invited him to drink it.
Hmm.
So it started with when amateur MMA fighter turned blogger Tony Poznanski tweeted out his list of unpopular opinions, and one of them was he hated coconut water.
Hmm.
He thought it was disgusting. And Vita Coco, you've seen Vita Coco? It's like,
I think so, yeah,
it's
yeah,
like the one that's in all the like the gas stations and stuff.
Right.
Vita Coco tweeted out unpopular opinions, but there's no such. He so basically Vita Coco made a crack at him, And then,
why would they do that?
I just don't know. But then the MMA fighter wrote back saying, fuck that. Save that nasty shit for someone else. I'd rather drink urine from your social media person's piss than your coconut water.
Oh, and shit. Then, and then they're like, they one-upped him.
And then the company delivered the final blow and tweeted a photo to Poznanski of Vita Coco's social media staffer, Lane Rawlings, holding a jar of yellow liquid with the company caption reading, "What's your address?"
That's fucked up. I mean, who double checked that tweet before it went out? You know, you're a company. You're a giant company that sells liquid to people. Like, you really want to fucking post a photo?
It wasn't a strong move. The company's stunt quickly went viral and inspired a slew of mixed responses. Some wondered whether the brand had gone too far.
Yeah.
While others found it absolutely hilarious. Many just wanted to know if it was actually real pee.
Yeah, but it's not appropriate, you know? Like, we can talk about piss and shit for days, but for a company, actually a company that sells coconut water.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if it was like a plumbing company and you're like, that's kind of funny because you're plumbing. But it's like, I'm going to ingest this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks for the mind switch there. Like, great.
Let you know, the sewage treatment winery were more appropriate than the coconut water
people. Of course.
You know?
Yeah. Look at the guys who made wine are probably got 12 months community service and a month of fucking whatever.
They were super appropriate. It's not like they named it urinal vineyards.
I mean,
meanwhile, you got a picture of the brand manager, sitting on the bowl with the jar of urine saying, "Hey man, what's going on?"
Hey,
I don't think you
bro.
Yeah. I don't think you can actually have, I think you shouldn't even have to say that if you're involved with food or beverage, any kind of feces or urine or bodily fluid should really not ever come up ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
unless you're the company's going bust. We're mad ball 40, you know, we're going to fuck everybody in here. And this is how we're going out. Yeah. That's a different story. And you're like, fucking knock yourself out.
Yeah. No, but
brand image, you know, it sounds stupid, but you know, I'll think twice.
Maybe. I mean, it isn't the best. I used to love coconut water, but it is, and it's definitely not, it's the worst of the coconut waters that you can buy.
Yeah,
but I think I would think differently by, you know, and she's a cute girl. She's holding this big jar of urine. Just seems like,
I hate to say this, but I think the optics are wrong.
Yeah, the optics are wrong. The optics are wrong.
Shit.
I got two more.
Jesus.
Penguins shoot poop bombs more than 4 feet. Incredibly important study finds.
That's kind of common knowledge. I thought everybody knew that.
Did you know that?
Of course.
These tubby aquatic birds can squirt arching jets of poop to distance. Poop. You already know this?
They're birds, dude.
You don't want this one? You don't want to know about their tiny rectums?
You know what? My chickens can literally shit like 20 feet. Like,
get out of here.
Yeah, as they're flying.
Oh well. But, you mean they're dropping deuces while they're flying?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The chickens shit like 50 times a day. Ugh. It's nuts. Birds are like just shit machines. So for a penguin to shit 4 feet does not surprise me.
Did I ever tell you the story of when Hillary and I first moved to our town, and Hillary was super pregnant, and we found something so bizarre? It looked like almost like a voodoo doll. Mm. And it was like a small human body with arms and legs. And it was like shriveled up.
Yeah, it was the owl scat, wasn't it?
But let me tell the fucking story, goddammit. You know, Jesus Christ. It looked like,
told me the story.
I know, but the listeners haven't heard the goddamn story.
Right.
We're on a podcast, for Christ's sakes. So, Jesus Christ, Nico, come on, man. Work with me a little bit.
I forgot we were casting.
So, it was crazy because we didn't know it. It looked like it was the size of a Barbie doll. And it was, the arms were outstretched, and it was
really, was it stretched upwards?
They were out. They were out, almost like crawling. I don't know what it was. But it looked like, it definitely looked as if it was like a
up that dude's ass.
It looked like it was like a voodoo doll.
Yeah, yeah.
And we actually saw our neighbor, and my wife was super pregnant and crazy at the time. And we were talking to him, like, have you ever seen anything like this? And he goes, no, I have no idea what it is. And he goes, what do you think it is? And my wife, 9 months pregnant, waddles out, and she goes, I think it's a moose abortion. I was like, Jesus Christ, that was the end of him. Our relationship with our neighbor, like, he takes off. I was like, yeah, that was a good one, Hill.
He faints, yeah.
So I ended up calling the animal control in our neighborhood, who we know,
Wendell.
Yeah. And he said that what happens is these barn owls will swallow an entire squirrel,
right?
Whole. They don't chew it up or anything. Sure. They swallow that motherfucker whole. And when they shit it out, it's just impacted, but the arms are out and the legs are out, and it's to like get rid of all their little lice.
Yeah, it's insane how that digests. You got to think, it's just mashed, and then all the guts of the creature comes out their nose or their ass.
But it wasn't a pellet. It's like a
matted. I forget the name of what it's called, like the owl scat. But it's what happens. It's just like a ball of fur and bones, like crushed.
It was
like it's the like most a compactor.
I mean, I honestly felt that it was like. It was like somebody sent that to. It was like a voodoo.
It was like Blair Witch in your backyard.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. All right, so we don't need to know about that. All right, the last story I have, and this is perfect for the end of the year because this year was definitely, I would say, a kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
China's masters of iron crotch kung fu fight to preserve the painful-looking tradition. You want to know about this?
Yeah, but I think I know about this.
Well, there's these videos. I don't know if you've seen these.
Yeah, yeah. This dude's like squatting and the other guy just fucking railing on his nuts.
Yeah. And then 5 seconds later, he's in horse stance with his like karate outfit on and he's hitting his balls and penis with a brick. So that's an actual thing. It's not just like some fucking
eunuchs, or maybe they have like a tied down or something like that.
I'm going to tell you the story. Never before had the, hold on a second. I got waylaid here.
I got lost in Barbie's balls.
Well, I got screwed up by an ad. Okay.
What, you're supposed to do an ad?
No more ads, Craig. I got the story. Jutun, China, Wang. Guys, Jesus, he was fucking
dude,
Wang.
You're so racist.
God damn it. I didn't say, I mean, how can you have a story about crotch kung fu? The guy's name is Wang. Wang Lui Tai is no ordinary kung fu master. The 65-year-old from the village of central China practices the unique and excruciating looking strand of martial arts coined iron crotch kung fu. Huh. Its most famous technique involves a steel plate capped log, 2 meters, 6.5 feet in length, weighing 88 pounds, that swings through the air and smashes into a man's crotch.
Jesus.
When you practice iron crotch kung fu, as long as you push yourself, you will feel great, said Wang. Huh. Fucking Wang. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, man. You know the journalist was just like, come on, man. Your name's not Wang. Don't do this to me, man. Come on, please. Wang, I'm going to laugh the whole fucking time. Wang, who has been practicing the technique for half a century, has 2 children and insists that with the correct methods and sufficient practice, it does not hurt and has no effect on your fertility.
But what's the correct method? Like,
I'm going to get
a metal plate around your dick.
I think it's how you receive. But the iron crotch mastery, which is gained by taking hits to the body's weakest points while using special breathing techniques to inure oneself, is just one element of a branch of Tong Bei Quan Kung Fu that has been practiced in Wang's village for 300 years. The style encompasses the scores of attack techniques, as well as resisting pressure, pain, or hits to other sensitive areas.
Uh-oh. Jeff, I lost you.
We also have the iron throat, the iron head, the iron chest, and the iron back as well, said fellow master, 53-year-old. His name is Tang. Tang. I want to. This almost makes
Tang and Wang.
This makes me feel like it's a fucking joke. Come on, man. Fucking Tang Wang and Tang kicking each other in the nuts.
Wango Tango.
Fuck me, man. I can't make this shit up. It's not racist because I'm reading it.
So racist, dude. You're so racist.
Jesus Christ. Let me keep going.
What happens if somebody punches you in the kidney? You're not prepared for that, are you?
I got to go ask the other guy. It must have some sort of kidney kung fu. The style of kung fu practiced by those in Jutun village outskirts of the ancient capital of Luoyang was historically a fiercely guarded secret, but concern has grown that fewer and fewer people were taking it up and might not survive. There were once about 200 people regularly practicing iron crotch kung fu in the practicing in the village, said Tang, and now there's just only 20. That number can practice the number that can practice iron crotch technique has dropped from 80 to just 5.
Yeah.
There's only 5 masters now in the iron crotch technique. That's why Wang and his fellow masters started to actively promote their style of kung fu, adapting the swinging log device in 2016 to demonstrate the iron crotch technique, where previously villagers had kicked, punched, or used bricks or sticks.
You know what I bet they do? I bet you they have like a breathing thing where they suck their nuts up into their body cavity. That's the only way you could do it.
Suck your nuts up into your body.
Yeah, they can. They can if it's cold enough. Maybe they numb their nuts and then the balls go back up into their body and they're like, hit me, kick me. Yeah.
Their efforts have helped them gain new several students in the cities across the country who learn using social media or the custom-made videos posted online. See, the videos we've all been seeing are demos to get people interested.
But the only way I would believe that shit is if they did it naked.
Well,
you know, because then you're like, well, you got a plate there, dude. I don't believe it. Like, yeah, it looks kind of painful, but, you know, you put a fucking, you know, whatever those things are called, those little fucking, you know, plastic things. I didn't do sports. What the fuck is it called?
A cup.
Yeah, cup.
Yeah. If there are more students to carry it forward and spread the whole country and the world, if they can carry this form of kung fu forward, then my dream will come true, says Wang. Jesus.
Oh, Wang.
Fucking Wang. Here's the problem with this particular type of kung fu. It seems very passive. Like, I would have thought that kung fus are defensive and yet offensive.
Yeah, if they could use their dick to lash out after they get knocked in the nuts and their dick comes out and they just fucking whacks them in the head, like that would be impressive.
I mean, what position are you in a fight where you just take your hands, put them on your hips, and then kind of like put your pelvis out to say, give me a kick and see how it goes? If you kick this, wait till you see what I do to you. It just doesn't seem like a valid form. I mean, they obviously have to do these YouTube videos because everyone's just like, yeah, I just don't really feel like getting, you know, somebody swinging a log into my crotch.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's just like laughing.
Because
like,
you know, with anything, the first couple of days are not going to be easy. It's not going to feel, you're not going to have iron crotch right off the bat. You're going to have tin foil crotch.
With like a little pencil, a little thwack.
A fucking thwack from a pencil is terrible. As you know, a simple graze to the scrotum. It's worse than a log. I just think that I don't know how you can get to the point. I mean, you're going to go through a lot of hell before your crotch is made of iron.
Yeah. And that's why there's only 5 left. Yeah.
It's a
dying art form.
Wang's sad, but I mean, come on, Wang.
Yeah,
you got to figure something else out. No one wants to get kicked in the crotch. Yeah, you can't upsell getting kicked in the crotch as a defense.
Yeah. There's this great new body modification where you cut off all your fingers. It's really hip. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's just like, what's the selling point to iron crotch to kung fu? Hey, come here with me. If you get kicked in the crotch, you're going to feel great. Yeah, but you got to feel terrible for a few years of getting kicked in the crotch.
I think you can kind of count on your fingers how many times you've been kicked in the crotch. Unless you're like a fighter or some kind of wrestler or something like that. But most people, you know, it's like 3 or 4 times. It's not like every week my nuts get smacked against a door frame. You're like, oh, that sucks. I better learn some iron crotch.
I mean, I think Wang's got to figure something else out. I mean, even iron back. I mean, who gives a shit about, you know, iron back.
Yeah, iron stomach is it, man. It's like your iron chest and stomach. Like you can take all the abuse. That's kind of cool.
I just think that I feel sorry for Wang and Tang because no one is going to come to learn how to get hit. The best part of those videos is I saw those videos and they're just like, you know, they go in a horse stance and their hands are by their hips and then they're standing and they're breathing and you can tell that they're holding themselves and then some dude's kicking them in the nuts. Mm-hmm. And then the best one is the guy is taking a brick and not only hitting himself in the penis, but he's going up under and hitting himself in the gooch, you know?
It's too much information.
Well, I just thought, that's the end of weird news.
We're done with that part. Spot.
You know,
let's move to our last but not least thing we talk about.
What is that? The episode part where we say go fuck yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the part of the episode where we where we vent our frustrations and somebody or something or someone or something is, you know, you say, go fuck yourself too.
Yeah. We railed on Mitch McConnell last time and look, he got worse.
Dude, that dude is like, I mean, you can't get more.
Yeah. Look, Emperor Palpatine has got nothing on McConnell.
Dude. Can I tell you one other thing? There is nothing more irritating than my wife waiting to get her coronavirus and that little penciled necked douchebag, Marco Rubio.
Oh yeah.
Gets it first wearing his
wife beater thing.
He's wearing his Ocean Pacific shirt, cap on backwards. Like he's about to go down to like Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
Like, you know, pop a Bud Light.
Oh, yeah. It's like the situation gets it before the medical.
Situation. He looks like this situation. That's a fucking good one, dude. So right there. It's like in this situation.
Getting my fucking shot. Yeah, right there in my fucking arm.
Situation is from the Jersey Shore on the MTV. That's a fucking good one, dude. All right, so who are you gonna say go fuck yourself to?
I don't know. You know, I thought about, you know, the usual like COVID. No, of course, COVID deserves everything it gets. You know, 2020. But you know what? I actually had a great fucking year. And that's just me personally. Obviously, people had a shitty fucking end of life year.
Right.
But
Marianne from Gilligan's Island just passed away.
She bit it. Yeah. She was up there, though. She wasn't. Yeah.
Still.
She wasn't like the 40-year-old dipshit in fucking Louisiana who bit it.
Yeah. But I mean,
the guy who was elected governor or something like that.
Yeah. But she can't say that Marianne deserved it. I mean, Jesus Christ.
She probably had a fucking COVID party. Uh-huh. She's probably in that conga line in Queens.
Poor Marianne.
I don't know. It's, go ahead. You know what? It sucks. It fucking sucks. And 2020 was a weird year, but it was a year that people are going to base on like, oh, well that was September 11th. So it was that year.
Right.
You know, it's like, you just kind of, you shift, and 2020 is a good number. You're just like, it wasn't 2021, which is weird. It's, you know, 2020 is, I mean, I just want Trump to leave so we can actually get some kind of clear guidance of what the fuck we're doing. I want the National Guard to fucking come in, and I want it to be like the goddamn movie Pandemic, so we can line up to get our fucking shots from the VA med staff and just get it done.
I do not want martial law. I want people to come to their senses.
No, it's not martial law. What it is a federal emergency plan. That's what it is, where they're basically like, look, it's not even, you know what they did in Spain and France and shit like that? Where if you left your house, you had to have a fucking letter or an app on your phone that told the police that you had a right to walk your fucking dog. That's what I want.
Craig used to have, he told me all about it. It was really very, very,
but you know what? If we have 6 weeks of that and the fucking virus goes away and because of that, fucking A. I mean, I don't know. We've already spent 8 months doing this shit. So personally, it's not really working because a bunch of fucking a-holes are out there without their fucking masks and just like, oh, I'm God will protect me, fuck you, you know, like, I'm sorry, that's the big fuck, that's the go fuck yourself. People who just people who want to take a stand because they want their fucking 5 minutes of fame and they want to be, they want their pathetic little fucking lives to be heard on the internet, you know? Like, these are the real trolls, the people who bust into grocery stores screaming like, you know, you can't put underwear on my face. You know what? Go fuck yourself. You fucking deserve everything that that Mother Nature's cooked up for you in that juicy cocktail.
Those Karens are the worst.
Yeah. The problem is they bring it to the fucking nursing staff. Like, that's the problem. These dipshits will get it. And they're like, I guess I better go to the hospital and infect the fucking people who've been playing it safe and been in the middle of this shit the whole time.
I am surprised how often I see poor behavior. I was in the hardware store getting an emergency. I had to get a gallon of acetone because I was completely out and I was gluing some stuff up. I went in, I stood in line, I stayed away from everybody. And this guy took his mask down, licked his fingers to get a business card.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
You motherfucker. Ooh, what that's delicious.
Here's my COVID card.
You're the dumb motherfucker right there. Yeah.
Here, lick my card. I've licked it already.
I mean, you can't make this shit up. All the Full Blast podcast listeners who don't like what Nico said, don't send it to me. He is my friend. On this podcast, I let people say whatever the fuck they want. It's what they have to say. Don't send it to me. You know what?
If your listeners don't like masks, you know what? They can die too.
All right. There you have it from Nico Tavernisi.
Look me up on Instagram.
Wishing my listeners death. Thank you. Fucking God. Well, you know, I was going to say, I think my go fuck you is now to Marco the Situation Rubio. He looks like that fucking picture. You fucking painted it perfectly.
Yeah.
He looks like the Situation from the. He's sitting there
with his hat on backwards.
He's got his Ocean Pacific, like, this is the sleeves cut off shirt, and he's like looking to the side with his.
Who literally was trashing Fauci like the day before, like literally just like reaming him out, saying Fauci wasn't, and then he gets the fucking vaccine. That's illegal.
That hurt.
That shit.
When that picture came across at our home, Hillary was not happy.
As were millions of people who are like in their hospital bed.
Come on, man. You've been shitting all over that for fucking a long
Ernst
time.
Or whatever. What the fuck is her name? Ernst?
Ernst.
You like got it? I forget her name. Kelly Ernst or something like that. What the fuck was her name? She's a senator or something like that. And she got it. And she was basically like ripping into like the mass situation, you know? And the dipshit who said to Azar got it, and he was the guy who told Michigan to rise up.
I'm glad that you're
the hypocrisy is so thick. Well, 2021 is gonna be a fucking
shit show.
No drop in the fucking bucket. No, it's the day after a really fun party that turned really shitty at the end of the night.
The cops showed up.
Showed up, and people, there's puke everywhere, and 2021 is going to be the people who actually pull up their fucking pants and say, okay, we got to clean this shit up. And that's what 2021 is. It's going to be fucking hard, but it's going to have to happen.
All right. Well, I owe to the listeners, I have to say something uplifting because, I mean, this is the Downward Spiral podcast, which is a podcast within a podcast within a podcasting network. So I'm looking forward to, let's talk about what we're looking forward to. So we don't totally, we got to pull it back up. It's Downward Spiral is the whole idea, was that it starts off bad and then it ends worse, but we're going to kind of like pick it back up.
Well, that's not the Downward Spiral.
Right. That's a good point.
Good night. No.
Well, you heard it here, guys. Happy New Year, you motherfuckers. And I appreciate the shit out of you. I am looking forward to a very positive 2021. I tell you what, Nick Anger on, that it opened the doors. It opened the doors for guests. I have January and February, I got guests up the wazoo, but you, Nico Tavernisi, always. Dude, you have a complete open invite. Anytime you want to spiral, you have an open invite. So you just let me know.
You know what? This is great. This is December 31st. Last day of 2020. I feel very, very honored to be on this.
Jeff. Oh, dude. there's nothing to be an honor. You're one of my we've been doing this for years, and you're one of my favorite people.
You know what I was thinking about right before I started this thing?
Go ahead.
We used to call you Robot Jeff. Do you remember that?
My son
Judah would call you Robot Jeff because of the costume you wore. For years, he called you Robot Jeff.
That's right.
I like that. I think I want to bring that back.
Go ahead. I had all right, Robot Jeff. Well, guys,
it's better than Jesus Jeff, I guess.
or Iron Crotch Wang.
Iron Crotch Wang. All right, buddy.
So, guys, Happy New Year. I wish you all peace and love and prosperity and good health. And I got a lot of good shit coming up down the pipe.
a lot of Barbies
and that's it. Happy New Year, you little bastards. And we'll do this again.
Fucking A.
If you like this show, take a look at our other shows made for makers just like you at www.makery.network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.